Good morning, Matt Riddio on the 27th day of March 2018. Sports Radio 610, he's Seth Payne. I'm Mike Meltzer. We're going to figure out today if John McClain is more excited to appear on other shows versus this show coming up at 8:20 this morning.
As in, and when we say figure out, I'm guessing this is more just confirm. Well, it's something that you, me, and Landry all suspect, but Landry did some research on it yesterday, right?
Yes.
I'm just expecting to confirm that. I hear him on other shows. He sounds downright bubbly.
I'm still approaching this with an open mind.
All right.
I want to hear it. I want to listen in. I want to compare. We're going to do that audio-wise, obviously, coming up at 8:20 this morning. We didn't spend a lot of time because Bob McNair sort of ruined the Monday show. We didn't spend a lot of time discussing.
Thanks, Mr. McNair.
Yes. The Steph Curry injury. He got hurt Friday, grade 2 sprain of his MCL.
We didn't spend any time discussing it.
Yeah, not really.
We just talked about him being injury prone a few times, but we didn't really get into the glory that is Steph Curry's injury proneness this season.
So Curry is going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks. He's going to miss 3 weeks. Then they're going to take a look at him and kind of see where he is.
Steve Kerr says he's not playing in round one.
Yes.
Steph Curry said, hey, hold your horses, bucko. But look, he's not playing in round one.
He's not playing round one.
Nah.
I mean, whatever a coach says he's not going to play in round one, I'm assuming that he's
not.
No,
whatever Steph Curry. Oh, whenever the coach says that, yeah.
Yeah,
there's no, and
back.
There's no need for gamesmanship here.
No, not in this
situation. That they're not going to be cocky and take anybody for granted in round one. But he's not playing round one.
If the season ended today, the Rockets would face Minnesota in the 1-8 matchup in the playoffs, something that I would really like. Even though I'm guessing Jimmy Butler, who has his own injury that he's coming back from, would probably be available in that series. So my first question is, with Curry being hurt right now, with Curry being injured right now, do we think that the Rockets are now the favorites to win the title? I'm going to say no.
I'm guessing,
still don't think they're the favorites.
Just by the latest futures odds I've seen, for one, I believe no.
No.
And not that that tells you, obviously, what you should think, because that's altered by various factors. The biggest problem is just simply one of numbers. Like, without even getting very detailed about everything, you look at the Warriors, who still have a very good defense and are still the second best offense in the league, and they still have three all-star caliber players, even if Steph Curry never comes back. And what does it look like? You don't know exactly, other than they have Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson all out there. Of those three injuries, we did talk about this yesterday. We did the triage on it. We figured, okay, who's got the most serious injury that might actually affect them in the playoffs?
Definitely Curry.
Curry, but also Klay Thompson, I suppose. You don't know exactly what his shot's going to look like.
Yeah, he's got technically a broken thumb, which sounds really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's some kind of like hairline fracture or something.
Right, right.
He's only out a few weeks.
Yeah.
So,
but only a few weeks right now. I mean, we talk about teams at this point in the season, including with the Rockets. Coaches are nervous about just how much to rest their guys because they want to keep them sharp. It's not as simple as just, hey, take a whole week off, and when you come back, you'll be fresh and relaxed. Like, well, no, you also have to be in shape. You have to have your timing and rhythm down. You have to be just dialed in while at the same time getting a little bit of rest. The Rockets are very well positioned right now. James Harden is playing the fewest minutes per game he's ever played as a starter in the NBA.
Yep.
It's
he won't play tonight.
Chris Paul playing way fewer minutes than he's accustomed to playing. Right. Harden won't play tonight. And that's exactly how you want it at this point. They're kind of just taking their smattering of rest games amongst spread out by various guys. Chris Paul probably could have played in the last game, but why bother?
Yes.
And that's just where you are right now. I think that's how you want to feel. To say, if it were one player with the Golden State Warriors, if it was Steph Curry, and shoot, he's going to be out, but you know what? We'll work him back in the playoffs. He'll get back into shape and get his timing down. That's one thing. When you've got four guys out with injuries for multiple weeks, I'll go back to this. One of the Warriors' greatest strengths might this year prove to be one of their greatest weaknesses, which is this. They're not just a compilation of several sick athletes that can just go out and dominate with their sheer physical dominance. They're a finely tuned machine. They are all about teamwork, ball movement, precision shooting, precision passing, all those things. And it's not so simple to just roll that back out on the court and be looking the way you've looked for the past 3 years.
If I were a Warriors fan, I'd be pretty nervous by this point, just because now you're relying on all these different guys to get back at this point. Mm-hmm. And so Curry misses the first round of the playoffs, which means that there's a wear and tear situation, not just on him, but also the other guys, because now you're gonna be the two seed, right? So they're gonna face either Utah or San Antonio, and those are gonna be, you know, they're gonna win that series, but it's gonna put more wear and tear on those guys. I still think though that given that Curry is going to come back at some point here, most likely in the second round, that I still believe they are the favorites to win the championship at this point.
Yeah.
My second hypothetical is, if he missed a series with the Rockets, hypothetically, I think they would have to win that series.
Who?
The Rockets. Sorry.
Wait,
they
who,
being
if
the
who
Rockets,
missed the series?
Steph Curry.
Okay.
If Steph Curry misses a series against the Rockets, you have to win that series, flat out.
Uh-huh.
They have to win that series. And I don't know what the people in Vegas would say, but I, in my mind, even in my usually nervous state,
yeah,
I would say the Rockets should be favored in that kind of series.
Now, you say they have to win that. That's a very Mike Meltzer statement where
yes.
You say you have to. Okay, so what are the consequences if they don't? Are all the narratives about James Harden affirmed at that point?
Well, I got to see what it looks like.
No, I mean, you got to see it. Well, yeah, but you're also saying that they have to win it.
Yep.
And so I'm just wondering if you have to do something.
Consequence, brutal disappointment.
It's a brutal disappointment. Your expectations are that if Steph Curry isn't playing, okay, what about this? What if Steph Curry in the conference semifinals comes back and plays sloppily and doesn't look like quite himself, and if he doesn't look quite himself in the conference semifinals and in the conference finals, are you expecting the Rockets to win? Oh, merely Steph Curry's there, but he's like Steph Curry in the finals versus the Cavs a couple years back.
He's not the same guy. I'm gonna lean.
Or actually, Steph Curry like he is in the finals a lot of time.
I'll go with a slight yes.
Uh-huh.
I'll go with
a slight yes.
Slight
no,
yes.
At that point,
yeah.
The Rockets got to win. If you're going to say that they have to win.
Are you asking me, will they win in that situation?
No. I don't know what have to win means. So you said the Rockets have to win if Steph Curry isn't
in
the game. Right, if he's out.
But you're saying,
I'm saying if Steph Curry is in and just not nearly all that effective and just kind of a non-factor, they have to win that series too.
I think you're probably right.
There's almost like you're getting perilously close to Mike to actually favoring the Rockets in this.
I'm getting close.
Yeah.
I'm getting close.
There's just so much, but everybody's too smart. And I don't think, look, the Rockets, we had Laurel D'Antoni in here yesterday, and she's very careful not to let her emotions get ahead of her because so much can happen. And we get so fixated on
Laurel and I connect on this one very well.
No, and I think that's appropriate way to be. Like, it's fine as a fan if you want to be cocky about it, but as a player or a coach, or obviously you have to maintain that healthy fear of failure, that fear of that healthy amount of fear. And I know we're fixated on the Warriors, but the entire path from here to it's just so long. The NBA playoffs are so long and so much can happen. And you do have Chris Paul, who's had his share of injuries the past few years. If I'm nervous about anything right this moment, it's Chris Paul's health. Just be as a matter of policy because of his injury history, both this season and the past. So I'm going to be nervous about Chris Paul right up until the very last game this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of soft tissue injuries whenever he has them. Chris Paul, by the way, will be back tonight when the Rockets play the Bulls. They're going to rest Harden and they're going to rest Capella tonight, which is really the first time they've been able to do that really since James Harden has gotten here. So when they play the Bulls tonight, no Harden and no Capella.
My wife saw Capella at the mall yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He was, I wouldn't even mention this because it feels like it's almost an intrusion on somebody's private life, but she took a picture and sent it to me, and I guess he was filming some kind of commercial down at Baybrook Mall.
Okay.
He was outside of one of the athletic, what's that?
There was a camera crew?
Yeah. My wife said she wasn't paying attention. She almost like walked right in front of the shoot. She just was kind of strolling along, and then she said she wanted to hug Capella because he's just so cute. He's my Swiss exchange student. I wanted to bring him in and have him live with my family, and I feel like he'd be like a big older brother that my daughter never had. Yeah. He's still, despite the fact that he now looks like a man, he still has that kind of adorable quality to him.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
We've got 2.5 weeks until the NBA playoffs begin. Exactly 18 days and 49 days until the Western Conference Finals begin. That's where we're at on our countdown meter. Obviously, we're 2 days away from opening day as well.
Yeah.
And Ndamukong Suh signed with the LA Rams, who have made themselves into a very viable Super Bowl contender. They have had a big offseason. Marcus Peters trade, Aqib Talib trade, Ndamukong Suh as well. They did let go of Robert Quinn via trade, and they did lose Sammy Watkins as well. But that is a team that is fully taking advantage of having Jared Goff under a rookie quarterback contract, and they seemed like they are going all in on this season and maybe the season after that.
I'm somewhat looking forward to the potential collapse of the St. Louis Rams. Excuse me. The LA Rams. There you go. I caught myself for the first time in history. I'm still not 100% sold on Jared Goff. He had a nice season. We saw him ourselves up close with the Texans. And they did some things with that offense last year to disguise the fact that they are somewhat limited in some of the things they can do in the passing game, just with their receivers perhaps not being able to as adept at beating press man coverage. They run a lot of formations that are more bunched up, and it works really well, except that when teams have a whole offseason to figure it out, I'm not so convinced they're not going to have a little bit of a step back on offense. The problem is that it might not matter, because I think they can still have a good rushing attack, and their defense is now... Is this the first time that Wade Phillips has had such an infusion of talent in the second year he's been with the defense?
I'm going to say yes without doing any research.
Without doing the research at all. Look, if you go back to Buffalo, I mean, they were kind of a made deal. And that was always the knock. What's the deal with Wade? Is it the first two seasons are typically good and then the third season he has a drop-off?
Basically.
Or is it the first season is really good and then the second season has a drop-off?
I think it's the third season. I think usually people focus on that first season.
Yeah.
And then things kind of slowly go downhill maybe.
Yeah.
But you look at the deep, but yeah, again, without doing the research, I'm guessing yes. This is the most infusion of talent that he's had.
Research is for suckers, Mike. Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you this. I think
we can just spitball.
What happens with Wade's defense is my theory has always been he plays a whole lot of man defense and he does it really well and he simplifies things down for his players. But what happens is, for one, when you have those good defenses, guys eventually get plucked off of it via free agency, or those guys who can play man defense get old. And now all of a sudden, you're sitting there staring at a defense that made a lot of progress last year and now has Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib playing cornerback.
And they have two good safeties as well.
Yeah, they're just stacked in the defensive backfield. You're going to have Ndamukong Suh up front. And
with Donald.
Oh, man, Ndamukong Suh. Everybody remember what J.J. Watt looked like with Wade Phillips? Where Wade basically said, oh, yeah, you know what, other 3-4s might turn you into just like a boring two-gapper, but I'm Wade Phillips. I'm going to let JJ loose. That's going to be Ndamukong Suh's role this year. It's not going to look exactly the same way. I think they've got him listed as a nose tackle on our lads right now. Like, he's not a nose tackle. He's a guy that's going to line up in the A gap or the B gap and just get upfield and crush people next to Aaron Donald. Oh, my gosh.
This seems like a real Eagles kind of move, right?
Yeah.
Bringing in a guy on a one-year contract with a lot of talent. And you don't have to worry about a long-term deal. This team is you look, again, it's on paper.
It's a motivated Ndamukong Suh.
It seems like they have a very good coach in Sean McVay. I agree with a bit of your skepticism on Goff. I thought he was okay at best in the playoff game against Atlanta. But you look on paper, and maybe you could say they don't really have a true number one receiver, but this looks like a big-time football team right now. That looks like a big-time football
remember,
team.
Remember, was it Nick Wright's theory that LeBron should go around from team to team collecting championships?
Yes.
Which I felt like it was a little too
presumptuous.
We know Nick loves LeBron James. Yeah, I think it almost makes it, it almost discredits and takes away some of how hard it was for LeBron to win the championships he does have. I feel like Ndamukong Suh might go complete mercenary at this point and just go year to year. I think teams are nervous to give him a long-term contract because of his age and his history, and he doesn't care. He's just going to play football.
I can see that.
And you'll get the very best out of Ndamukong Suh because he'll be very much motivated and very on edge each year. This might be scary this year.
Seth Payne is all in on one of the most polarizing football players to return to the NFL. Your chance to win $1,000. And is this guy going to force the Astros' hand coming up in headlines? You're listening to Mad Radio.